Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. I'm Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host today, Marcia Stone, is not with us, but we are going to have a fabulous conversation with a very, very special guest today. Our intention always behind our podcast is to provide support, wellness, and inspiration for people, and wanting to change people's thought habits and the way that they think, and just giving people hope that we can always rewire our lives and rewire our brains at any point in time we choose. Today's guest is Dr. Erica Miller. There's so much to say about Dr. Miller. For one, she graduated with a PhD in clinical psychology. She's opened up a chain of mental health clinics, or she did in Los Angeles and Orange County, which she ran for more than 30 years. Today, in the present, she oversees a family's real estate business, and she's written three books, The Dr. Erica Miller Story, From Trauma to Triumph, Don't Tell Me I Can't Do It, Living Audaciously in the Here and Now, and international bestseller, Chronologically Gifted, Aging with Gusto. Dr. Miller has always considered herself a citizen of the world. She does push the envelope. I want to hear how. And she's had, you know, in her life undergone trauma. She was born in Romania, and for 7 years lived a normal life. And then when she was seven, Erica and her family were among thousands of Jews herded into cattle cars and imprisoned in a Nazi holding camp in Ukraine. For 4 years, she experienced the oppression and deprivation that, you know, none of us probably can ever imagine. And Erica and her parents were then liberated by the Russians, and her family immigrated to Israel in 1949. So she's had really an incredible journey in her life, and obviously has overcome many challenges, has, I would think, resiliency and strength. And so welcome to the show, Dr. Miller. Just, you have such a rich story. Can you just share a little bit of with our audience, you know, who you are and how you came to be here today?
You know what? It's so funny. I'm a storyteller. I just turned 88, and a girl is not supposed to give her age away. But again, so it's like, how long do I have? And it, really, it's so funny. I can do 10 minutes, I can do 40 minutes, I can do 2 hours. So I appreciate you, you know, as far as watching the time, asking questions, so that I know how to give orders, but I know how to take them too. So, yeah,
I shared a little bit, but obviously, you know, a lot of, you know, I'm from a Jewish background, and, you know, it's always very, you know, moving. I went to Auschwitz and checked it out. It's moving to me to really talk to somebody who is a survivor still, because, you know, they're disappearing, the survivors, you know. So could you tell us a little bit about that experience for you, and maybe some things we can, you know, take from your experience in terms of gratitude, and just to, you know, give people that contrast, you know?
Sure, all of the above. If you're speaking, it's interesting because trauma, trauma comes in many forms and shapes. So no kid should be exposed, like I was between 7 and 11, the atrocities I witnessed and so forth. But I just popped up. It's interesting how such a long time ago, 80 years later, I cannot absolutely imagine, I still have flashes. Yeah, it makes sense. So it's like, it kind of occurred to me, I am so fearless. I am so strong. I'm a citizen of the world. I climb Mount Everest. I jump out of plane. I whatever. But again, I don't brag. I just share. And it occurred to me just recently, without my experience in the early years, I would not be who I am today. So it's like an investment. Nobody bargains for trauma like that. But it's like, don't tell me my grit and my courage is, don't tell me because I'm Jewish, I have to die. Don't tell me because I'm a girl, I cannot climb mountains. Don't tell me I cannot be married, have kids, have profession, and so forth. So, yeah, flashes from the background. So, you know what? It's like, lucky for me as a psychologist, and always, it's just something that innate my traits. I'm very detached. I see what happened, but I don't feel. So when forever, whenever I had sirens or drums beating, my son was in a band, tears were gushing. And I was like, what's going on? Why would it happen? I did not feel it, but automatically. And I realized again, when you are with drums and in war and soldiers and all that, and then suddenly it stopped. So I was cured as far as those traumatic kind of experiences. So yours, your podcast and your commitment to educate as well is rewiring. You call it rewiring yourself. I call it in the process of evolving forever. I will never stop. So yeah, the experience was there, but I'm not a survivor. I am, but I'm striving. Going to Israel, I think the contrast, having gift of life, and really, as a psychologist, interesting. My sister was 5 years older. She was beaten down all her life. My mother had nightmares to the end with the Gestapo. And to me, it's like here I come, to Israel. I went to the Israeli Air Force. I went to high school at night, had two jobs. Being the majority, it's still the only one in the room. I never felt I fit in. I'm a little bit damaged, but it does not keep me from absolutely climbing my Everest mountain. And so it is attitude, it's inspiration, it's education. And so Israel, 8 years, made such an impact on me. So my story, I can go on forever, but then it just happened. Being in control of my life choices I make are really, really important, maybe important more than most, because I had no control. I could not use my voice. My mother had her hand over my mouth, so I don't give her a hiding place and so forth. But so my voice matters. So to me, to inspire, and to my latest book, Chronologically Gifted, what does it mean? Why did I research this book? Because I never thought I would live, tomorrow. So I have flashes, lots of memory gaps that the trauma does for 4 years from 7 to 11. So I have a flash of looking out this little window. We were 20 people in this room. I have this little window looking out, and every morning they would come and pick up the dead bodies. We were a holding camp. They didn't get to us fast enough. And as you mentioned, the Russians liberated us. People died from starvation and typhoid. So me looking out and seeing those ugly bodies emaciated, so a flash remembering, thinking, I could be dead tomorrow, but I don't want to die ugly. Just before I die, I'm going to pose. And guess what, Erica Spiegelman? I'm still posing. So meaning to life, yeah. I'm meaning, yeah, too bad you don't see me. Oh, my gosh, I'm full of myself.
I can't wait to meet you, yes, in person. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm telling you, I just knock people down, not because of, me, but my energy and my positive take and my good looks for 88, but life choices. I've been exercising and working on me and pescatarian for 40 years. It's not new. So I'm really fit, but the rest is destiny. So reinventing oneself, rewiring oneself, the past is gone. Let's reflect. What can we learn from it? The future, we need to have visions. Strategy, how are we going to get there? But the most important is to be in the moment. And it does not have to be Thanksgiving to be grateful.
Right, of course.
I'm not in La La Land, but I'm just high on life, like Mick Jagger. Yeah. My daughter is a groupie, so wherever there's Mick Jagger, I've seen him for 10 times, lately in Michigan even. So it's just being grateful and being part of a community. So when I researched how long there's a chance for me to live, because living with gusto, I have many mantras, but the one, life takes guts, grit, and gusto, courage, perseverance, and gratefulness. How long do I have a chance? So I, all over the world, so that is my last book that became international bestseller, because we do live longer and well. So there's a woman that lived 122 in 64 days. So I decided, and I envisioned, if she lived till that long, I can live till 123 and be in the Book of Guinness. And guess what? Tomorrow I could be a corpse, and it's okay. I have a legacy. So living life with purpose. So by my investigation, I mean, we know what it means to be, you know, to be fit, to, you know, to eat well, to exercise, to take care of yourself. You know, faith, if you have it, wonderful inspiration. Engage in the community. There's more than us. The rest, though, is destiny.
Right.
So
Eric,
I'm very hopeful. But.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, so the community, I'm a trained addiction counselor. So for my clients that I work with day to day, or, you know, as a therapist doing sessions with them, one-on-one therapy, you know, they're overcoming a lot of challenges, not only with the substances. Once the substance is put aside, what I hope to teach them, and which what I do in my books and what I've kind of, you know, done for myself, 14 years sober myself, has really just been about changing our thought habits and reframing. And, you know, not everybody, as I know, is, you know, like your sister and like other people have different, you know, just a basic different foundation, different personality, different even, you know, brain chemistry. But I think everybody can create new pathways, and everybody can create awareness around your thought habits and how those thoughts have gotten there. And, you know, were you bullied? Was there some emotional dysregulation when you were, you know, growing up? Was there a parent that was absent? You know, there's all these things that we can look at in order to kind of see how these narratives were formed and then give people hope that they can change them. So my question to you is yes, it seems to come naturally more for you, and I think for myself too. I think positively day to day. I'm grateful every day. I reflect on that as a practice. You know, these things come naturally to me, but a lot of people struggle to reframe when a negative thought comes in, or low self-esteem, or you know, some kind of cognitive distortion that, you know, I can't do that, or they catastrophize things. So what can you say just to people in general as a tip that maybe, you know, can't necessarily do this naturally, that they have to kind of try and work hard at creating new habits in terms of our thoughts?
Okay. That's easy for me, as you mentioned. Information is really important for your audience to know. Neuropsychology, neuroplasticity, it's an absolutely amazing, the information we have. The plasticity of the brain is such, like a muscle, that, again, by doing exercise, just like a muscle in your arm, it's like you have to keep on repeating, and believe that eventually it's work. You have to be motivated. So the same thing. All the noise of this, my poor me, background, whatever, you have to know, audience, dear audience, you have to know that it's physiologically possible. Most of you will. We can inspire, but it takes work and commitment. First, you have to understand that it's possible. Then there's a strategy, the repetition. I don't know whether how they teach math in school. And you know, 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 4 is 1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A repetition,
yeah, yeah.
Awareness, commitment, and then when that thought comes to mind, letting go and having something to replace it right away. Like I'm a hypnotherapist as well, and replacing with something else. Mere fact that the knowledge is, and the information, Google it, I'm not making it up, no fake news, that it is possible to overcome, it will always be part of us, unless we have a lobotomy or something
right,
like that.
Right, of course it will,
But again, accepting that we need support, but first information, support, motivation, and practice, because we deserve it. Life is so wonderful, but so short, and we cannot reach everybody. But what does it have to be with you? You can do it. Don't tell me, and that is my second book that I lecture in front of university students, it's kind of stress, what if, hey, don't tell me I cannot do it. That's great, but it is commitment and work. But you deserve it, because life is absolutely an amazing journey, and it's not all positive, but we have to embrace it all once we know that it's temporarily, and moving forward in the process of evolving and always be engaged in something that it means to you. It doesn't have to be, you know, big things. We can enter, we can, you know, get rid of some behavior, of some people, negativity. We need to introduce something not new, because the brain, the neurons are celebrating, they're firing anytime we do something new. Guess what? I just started, you know, pickleball. I play pickleball.
Did you? Oh, it's a big me? It's a big thing these days. Everyone's, yeah, we have a little pickleball tennis club near us, and it's packed with people. It's great. It seems like a great sport.
It's new. I never heard of it.
Yeah.
So I bought my thing, and I do that twice a week, a square dancing.
That's
but
fabulous.
My point being, it's something new.
Yeah.
And
to be inspired, right? To keep yourself interested. It sounds, you know.
And surround yourself with people. You don't need a lot, but positivity uplifts you. Negativity drags you down. So shame on me, but I cut off a number of people that constantly complain negative because it's contagious. Surround yourself with somebody, you know, that you want to become as well, positive. We're not in La La Land, but the cup is half full, not empty.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a member of the family, it's a challenge.
Right.
Then you learn how to navigate.
Right, right. With boundaries and other things, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus you cannot get, you know, blood out of a turnip. And if your mother, daughter, neighbor, close friend, they absolutely have been beaten down and wounded, and they cannot help. They try, and they feel bad because they want to be like you. So because they're close to you, learn how to navigate around so it does not affect you. Detachment is a wonderful thing when you have it. You can work on that one. But other than that, life to me is a gift that keeps on giving. They're unexpected yet. The uncertainties, they're all exciting to me. And clearly, I'm not just La La Land. I'm just lucky to be here, lucky to talk to you, because life, no matter how long, it is just too short for me. I want to be here forever.
Me too.
And
me too.
Knowing you hear, okay, look, one Erica to another. And so to me, death gives meaning to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm weird. Weird meaning I'm outside the box. I'm not the norm. I like it. And people want to, young people like you guys out there, they want to grow old like me. I am a control freak, but I know how to surrender to destiny. And I have a casket, a beautiful piece of furniture in the bottom of my bed. And I had an artist paint me in a white dress with my boots, whatever, with my hands
really?
Like,
wow.
to the ceiling. So, and I'm going to have, you know, a party. It's like almost like a wake to affirmation, life affirming, to absolutely remind people, be in the moment. It's not if, it's when. It's nothing we can do about it, but they clearly, stress shortens life.
Right. I was going to ask you about, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I was going to ask you, I was going to ask,
shut up.
No, it's okay. I was just going to ask you, you know, I have two little toddlers. I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old now. And, you know, my
life. Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. My life has significantly changed. You know, I was on my own for many years and had a lot of different freedom, and it changes for the better. It's a love like no other. But again, there's also stress that comes up, sleeplessness, you know, you have to do things for other people, you know. So that's one chapter that has changed in my life. And then I know there'll be others. And I'm just saying, life goes in waves. We have different chapters, each of us. We have to learn how to have good coping skills so we can navigate these times and these periods of our lives. Because, I mean, one thing I learned with kids, everything changes all the time. Like, one, you know, once you think there's one phase, then there's another phase. And that's the same for us, you know, like life goes in phases. So my question was, can you share with our audience some of your coping strategies that you use, that you've used in your life in your different chapters, and some that you use today?
Assessing, I'm speaking about life, relationship. It's a strategy game. What do I want the outcome? What do I need to do? And clearly, we have to know what we can do, and we have to know that we have to reach out and get help. So it's like,
Do you like take a bath? Do you any coping skills that you have used? Like for me, you know, at the end of the day, after seeing a bunch of, you know, clients, I sometimes, you know, it really helps me to take a bath and wash the energy off, you know, just the emotional kind of heaviness that I have to sometimes navigate around. That's helpful for me, you know, taking a walk, healthy coping skills, you know, taking a hike, listening to music, cooking, going to a farmer's market. You know, I've collected little coping skills that I keep in my toolbox all these years because I don't want to turn to negative coping habits. I don't want to drugs and alcohol, no overeating, no, you know, I don't want to numb myself out. So I think it's important for people to kind of gather a list of coping skills that helps them, you know, their nervous system settle, their heart to stop racing. If they're stressed out, what could they do that brings them joy? So I was just curious if like there's anything that you do or that you've been aware that you've done that's been helpful.
Okay, you found...
Some people meditate.
You have found a formula for yourself. It's working for you. I see. I don't see you, but I do. You know, in the area of you. So, but again, nothing new under the sun. Figuring out having balance. I'm very task oriented. I am detached appropriately, which is really wonderful for me because when you're speaking about the little children, when my son. So it's new. You call it whatever. I call it new chapters in life. So you have routines are really important, but also being open to know when do we need to ask help. If we have a partner, a job assignment in my house, my husband and my two kids, one did laundry, one did that. I don't know where I took the wisdom because it's not all on me. And women are known that they have full-time jobs, but they still do everything they expect. They take off the dishes from the table and set whatever. So you found the formula for you. I do similar thing. You know, to me, I wiggle, I run, I get out when in between. I have my routines. When it comes to point, for example, when you're speaking new chapters, and everybody has new times, because what you could do before your kids, you cannot do now. Does not mean you're going to give up, but postponing, tweaking, all that kind of thing. So when my son went in first grade, I have two kids, a daughter and a son. I decided now it's safe to go back to school and become a healer. So nobody wanted me to do it. So 8 years later, I had my PhD. And again, nobody wanted me. My husband, fortunately, we've been married for 53 years. He died, unfortunately, 10 years ago. But he was very proud of me. But again, he kind of like, poor Jerry, here she goes to school again. So having routines, having help, having support, and finding out what is it that you need in order for you to go through certain things. You know, it's not forever. Stressors happen, but everybody matters, but so do you. And in our society here, I spent as a young girl till I was about 23, 24 in Israel. So the Israelis, they're important. So I learned how to take care of myself, which is really important. So it's nothing new really under the sun. It's a commitment, understanding this is new. Where do I need to get? What do I need to do? And to me, then and right now, dancing is important to me. You know, music, going to musicals, being around, you know, lucky. Not everybody has a family, not everybody. I'm just lucky. Everybody doesn't get everything. But reaching out, being engaged in the community. To me, when I lecture, whether it's one person, I don't lecture to you, you know it all, but I'm just doing it with my accented voice, or having 1,000 people out there. My voice is heard. It is like I'm giving. I get.
It feels good. It's a connection.
And again, some people need to have a reason to get up in the morning. Volunteering is good. Money, joining somewhere, something greater than yourself. It sounds very patronizing, but no. By giving, we get.
It's true. It helps.
So yeah, I don't think I added anything to what you shared. It's like have your routines, but then be open and look for adventures. Like when I was waiting for you, I have that wonderful window that orchids love it. So once a month, you know, I cut them back and it's orchids. So I do gardening. If some people are into pets, I'm into gardening. I have no adventure. What else can I do? I've done, you know, 3 weeks ago we went to, you know, zip lining. It's something I don't advocate to jump out of a plane that I did, and you know, with the balloon, hot balloons, and all that. But in ours,
I can't believe you did this.
Yeah. I'm telling you, neither could I. But you know what? I did not know that I can. I'm really adventurous. I almost stare death in the face. I don't walk on the freeway. I'm not stupid. But I'm so excited that I'm here and that I'm such a good example. And I'm shorty. I will never lie about my age, but I'll lie about my height. You know, I used to say I'm 5'2". I'm 4'9", 11", something. And I told Dr. Kober, I will never be less than 5 feet. Do you hear me? So it's
yes, okay, good, yes.
So my point being is it's not what you can, what can you do? And having information, what it takes in order to live long and well, not just to do living long. And it's accepting limitation. I started very early. I went to the gym, you know, for 40 years nonstop, 4 times a week, aerobics and weights. And, you know, I'm a little powerhouse, but it's never too late. It's never too late because I wanted to be well. And for now, I'm such a show off, but I'm not. I keep on repeating myself. I don't brag, I just share. If I can do it, you can do it. So when young people in their 40s, 50s emulate me, like they climbed the mountain, they went also to Machu Picchu like I did. A friend, I have a group here from young women in the neighborhood. I'm not their therapist. I'm one of the girls. So here she was tired. So her husband says, come on, Jennifer, emulate Erica. Do it. So to me, it's like there's a reason why I'm here, but not just being.
Sure, you're lighting the way for people. You're giving inspiration. That's amazing. It's wonderful.
And as you know, we cannot inspire everybody, but we do reach a lot of people. It's not what we cannot do, but we can do. It is doable audience in the process of evolving because you're not your condition. Some people, they overcome because there's that grit. Hey, I'm not my mother, or I am. I'm not my father. I'm not my condition. And again, those are wonderful models to emulate. And who says it's easy? But you have to be motivated, committed, because you matter. You deserve it. So you either are going along and waiting, sitting and waiting to die like my mother-in-law. She died when she was 96. When she was about 60, she waited to die. Things are changing.
Yeah.
But again, you need to be in.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, too. Just the aging process for people that, you know, I mean, even I'm 42 years old, but I definitely feel the effects of aging. After having kids, too, you know, things just start to change. You enter a new phase of your life. How do you mentally? I know I get a sense of how you personally, you know, what you tell yourself. But for a lot of people that are listening that are, you know, I think having a difficult time accepting aging, accepting to embrace the fact that things may not work as well, or they may not look a certain way anymore, or, you know, they look at younger people and feel, you know, that they're comparing themselves. What do you say to people about this process of aging?
Okay, emulate me. I will not be defined by my age. Absolutely zero. Most people don't reach a certain age. Children die too. So it's not what you cannot do. Attitude, those ugly noises in the head. I'm not as no. Look.
So don't attach any true meaning to the fact that I'm 49. I'm
zero.
50. I
zero.
Can't do it.
Right, zero. Yeah. Refuse. Absolutely, because people, society, we are celebrating.
And it's all in your head, right? It's what you think,
In society, traditions are very strong, and we are an ageist society. Maybe in Japan, and that is fading away to really respect for the older. But things are changing very slowly. But it's like, the noise is there and the expectations, but I am putting it out on the universe for myself, and you can hear, audience, you can hear me, and you, Erica, 42, 52, 62. Again, I'm watching myself like a laboratory. What, I mean, I'm aging, so my skin is a little bit thinner, so, you know, so the watch, whatever it robs me, they bladder is a little bit lower, but other than that, I am telling you, and I don't, I'm not fake news. I'm sharing because of my lifestyle, which I will continue to ever. I am more fit than my daughter, not my daughter, but friends in their 60s. We travel all over the world with her friends. In Florence, they don't have in a fifth floor. They don't have an elevator. I'm the first up with the luggage. I'm the first up in the whatever because my attitude, but again, I do something about it. So, yeah. We compare. He's the richer. How much money do you need? How much whatever? It's like not, it's like, climb your own mountain, see something you want to do, and be just lucky that you have the gift of life, because I don't know why we're here, unless you're religious or whatever, unless you figure it out. I don't know why we're here. There's a reason for everything. We're all interconnected in the universe, but it's all about me and my experience, by me being feeling but I'm connected. I'm connected to others, that I do take care. Everybody matters, but so do I. So like on the airplane, first you have to take buckle yourself before you take care of somebody else.
Sure.
And it is a mindset. It's an attitude. Did I answer you?
Yeah. One more thing I want to ask you too about, just quickly, what I've found for myself and for many people I work with when I tell them, you know, this is how we're going to start this journey to recovery, is we have to build a foundation of self-love. And, you know, in Buddhist meditation and, you know, and also a lot of the Jewish scriptures and, you know, in every religion, it comes back to love and self-love. But I think in general, it's not stressed enough in our society because it's a consumption culture of just, we do have to put ourselves first. And I think in order for us to create these routines and to create these non-negotiables and have healthy boundaries and choose healthy people and have good physical routines and honor ourselves with good sleep and nutrition and all these things, we have to love ourselves. So to start this journey, like not like I've been on it for many years now. I know it's important to me. It's the most important. My non-negotiable is self-love. But for people that are just listening now that are starting this journey, can you give one or two tips of just how to start this self-love process? Is it talking to yourself with kind words? Is it, you know, what do you have any words of advice for people?
Yeah, I sure do. There's nothing. I have advice. I have wisdom forever. Are you kidding me? I make things up. No, we're speaking about I needed to have affirmation. So when I went back to school and I was so outside my box, I found this little book, Art of Selfishness by Seabury. It's still around some verse. And it was very clear to me, I'm not a bad person, but exactly what you say. Before I can take others, I need to take care of myself. If my husband would have said, didn't bargain for you, there's no way you can go and, you know, being, I would have left the coop. How lucky am I that we survived as a family? So we are speaking about people like you, people like me. Make a big difference, because to start to say I want to love myself, it's easier said than done. But believing, being exposed, seeking somebody like you or part in organization, it's like you matter, you are important. You need to be strong. Give examples, inspiring, because if you're not going to take care of yourself, nobody will. And all those noises, the dark noises from the past, they're just speaking about it, they can continue forever. Do you want to be in 5 years now and having the same conversation? Let's embark on this new, and whenever the negative thought comes, whatever, let go of it. What can you do different? It's not just doing, believing that you're worthwhile. If not, you would not be in this earth. If not, we would not be in this whatever. So it really takes, inspiring. It takes to be part of something, because alone one cannot do it. So you have all the right thing, but it's like, boring. Yeah, I should have, I could have, my mother, I don't want to hear about it. What are you going to do? I want to you hear, what is something you're going to do for yourself that is going to make you feel good about yourself, and then you have more energy, you get out of your drought, and then what are you going to do, something for the community? It's take and give, back and forth, and predictability, safety, but also the new adventures, but being engaged And then being proud of yourself, like Tarzan. No cavities.
Yeah. But you know, it's like the positive self-regard too, you know, having positive self-regard. So when you do good things for others or things for yourself, it's just, I always tell my clients, a domino effect, you know. You lay your head on the pillow every night, go over all the good things you've done, all the accomplishments, keep focusing on positive things, you know, that helps create, you know, more positive self-regard. So the next morning you wake up and, you know, again, you start with, you know, it's just the momentum forward that way, I think, too.
Right. But really important to know, respect is earned and not to scare. Sometimes people, it's like big accomplishment. Unless I can get a PhD, unless whatever, comparing to others, I'm not speaking about that. Any step that you're doing something that you have not done yesterday, and you may, it feels good. You cannot control others. But if you have a plan and you make a little step forward, even if you make a step back, and you know, as far as the recovery, you know what? So it's step by step, and it's okay to, but it's not, the important part is you have to be included in a group like yours. You have to be part of something, because it's so easy to just, you know, retreat and staying stuck. So, you know, the opportunities are there and change is possible because our wonderful plasticity of our brain. But again, we have to believe it, we have to know it, and we have to be engaged. And they're not being unrealistic. So when somebody comes to you and say, why are you here? Why now? What do you want to be in 5 years from now? I want to be president of the United States. How wonderful. Do you belong to a party? No. Are you going to create a new party? No. I mean, it's how realistic. And people, unless it's not all or nothing, little steps for them.
Little
so
steps
you feel
forward
bad
help.
About yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're
yes,
the best.
Ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So, Dr. Erica Miller, you know, we're running out of time, but I wanted to just obviously thank you.
You mean already 45 minutes?
Yeah,
already
it has. It has.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
And
okay.
It's been such an honor to be with you today, and such a blessing to have you now in my life and to know you. And I just want to tell our audience where people can find you. If you want to give them your website, or, you know, what's the best way people can contact you,
you know,
or find your
I
books.
Guess when you go, I guess when you go, and by the way, listen to my accented voice, and you're too old to go to the get drugged out again. Listen to my accent voice. Yeah, Dr. Erica Miller on the website, and then you can see me, you know, traveling and playing and lecturing and all that kind of thing. See my three books. It is Dr. Erica Miller. The website is www.drericamiller.com.
Good. Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
there
great.
Are other Ericas, Erica Millers too. I thought I'm the only Erica Miller, but no. It's like, yeah. So, you can find me. And you know what? Knowing that there is a possibility, because you're not asking something that's not doable. It's just being open and knowing that it's a commitment to yourself, and you will never stop in the process of evolving, something adding new to your life, and so you feel good about yourself. You lose a few pounds, don't be obsessed about it. Plan to have a binge. Get a whole package of nuts. I don't care what. But it's the control. But then Monday comes, because we are our biggest critic. So it's like, get off of you. You know, but it's boring already. Make it little changes and you'll
and
join
pull yourself
the club.
Up. Yeah, I agree. So Erica,
one
last question that we like to ask all of our guests for our deep dive question is, what if you could choose one word, what is your superpower?
Optimism.
Optimism. That's great. I love it. Fabulous. Fabulous.
You know, I'm optimistic that I have another day. If somebody asked me, how are you? I said, I woke up this morning.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
I'm telling you.
And that's the right attitude.
Of life that keeps on giving.
Right.
Uh-huh. Take me with you. You hear me?
Yes.
Erica?
Yeah.
And the whole audience, take me
with
you.
I'm
going to
take you with me every day from now on. Absolutely. Thank you,
it's
Dr. Miller.
Imperfection.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and if you're in my neighborhood, knock at my door, okay?
I will. Okay. Oh, for sure. I'll be in touch, for
okay,
sure.
Dear.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time, be well.